Turning our Bibles to James chapter 5. Next Wednesday night's a regular business conference. And we'll try the deacons, if we could, next Monday night to meet about 7. We've been meeting a little earlier than that, but Brother Terry, he's not able to get here before that. So we'll try to meet next Monday night about 7. I'll mention that again on Sunday. And I'm not too hard on people forgetting things, because I find that I forget things as well. And because Brother Terry mentioned to me about deacons meeting, I thought we just had one. Time rolls by fast. And then you got everything else thrown in, holidays and Christmas and extra stuff going on. So it's hard to keep up with anything, seems like. But anyway, James chapter 5 is what we're going to look at tonight. James chapter 5, verses 17 and 18. We'll just read those verses, and then we will get into this tonight. We've been winding up the book of James for several weeks now, and probably at least one or two more, I think, after this. But James chapter 5, verse number 17, the Bible says, Elias was a man subject to like passions as we are, and he prayed earnestly that it might not rain, and it rained not on the earth by the space of 3 years and 6 months. And he prayed again, and the heaven gave rain, and the earth brought forth her fruit. And what we'll call this tonight is the example of Elias, or Elijah. That's who this is talking about. It's talking about the prophet Elijah. And last time we were together, of course, last week it snowed and everything. We didn't meet on Wednesday night, but the Wednesday night before that, we looked at the last part of verse number 16, where it says, the effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. And we broke that down and just looked at each of those words. Effectual, fervent prayer, a righteous man availeth much. And boy, there's a lot of great scriptural truths just in verse number 16. But now James gives an example of that, an example of the effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. And he gives the example of Elijah. And just for sake of going back and forth, I'm just going to call Elias Elijah here. We know that's talking about the same person, but Elijah is who he's talking about. And so we have his example. It says in verse 17, it said, Elias was a man subject to like passions as we are. So we'll start that tonight. Elias was a man subject to like passions as we are. Now, I've always heard that he put his pants on same as all the rest of us. We've heard that about people before. Well, they're just a normal human being. That's how Elijah was here. We've heard that. He's made out of the same stuff that we are, and he was. And he was subject to like passions as we are. If you study about Elijah, you study about his life, you'll find out that there was times in Elijah's life where he was weak, where he was hungry, where he was tired, where he was discouraged. We find in his life there's times where he was full of faith and courage. Then there's other times he was frightened. He was on the run. I mean, Elijah had the whole experience of human emotions just like we do. And we think about Elijah in the Bible, and I've heard people say, well, they were not supermen. This Elias was subject to like passions as we are. They were not some kind of super person, a superman, but they served a super God. That ought to encourage us tonight. God uses men, women, subject to like passions. We're all made out of the same stuff. We all go through the same things in this life, but we serve a mighty God. And our God takes normal people, takes everyday people, takes people that you wouldn't expect, and uses them for His honor and His glory in great and mighty ways. And that's how it was here with Elijah. He was a man subject to like passions as we are. So man, even these thousands of years later, man is made out of the same stuff. But the Lord is the same. Malachi 3:6, I am the Lord, I change not. The same God that heard Elijah's prayers and answered in great and mighty ways, we serve the same God tonight. So that ought to encourage us in our prayer life. And it says this about him in verse number 17, and he prayed earnestly that it might not rain, and it rained not on the earth by the space of 3 years and 6 months. And so he prayed earnestly. Keep your place here, and let's go back to 1 Kings chapter number 17. 1 Kings chapter number 17, we're going to look at a few different chapters here in 1 Kings and even 2 Kings. But if we have the example, and James mentions him by name, it'd be good to go back and study some things about this example of this great man of prayer. So we go back to 1 Kings chapter number 17, and we're going to look at this particular example of prayer that James refers to. Now, I've heard a lot of preaching about Elijah, and you have too. We've heard about Elijah and how that he went up against the prophets of Baal. And normally, if you hear James chapter 5 and this effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man, Elias was a man subject to like passions. If you hear somebody preach out of that, they'll go back most of the time to 1 Kings chapter number 18. And they'll talk about his 63-word prayer. We'll read there in chapter number 18 first of all. But this is usually the example when you think about Elijah's mighty prayer life. You think about these verses. You think about him going up against the prophets of Baal and how that he set up a sacrifice and dug a trench around it and filled it full of water. And verse number 36 said, and it came to pass at the time of the offering of the evening sacrifice that Elijah the prophet came near and said, Lord God of Abraham, Isaac, and of Israel, let it be known this day that thou art God in Israel, and that I am thy servant, and that I have done all these things at thy word. Hear me, O Lord, hear me, that this people may know that thou art the Lord God, and that thou hast turned their heart back again. And then the answer in verse 38, then the fire of the Lord fell and consumed the burnt sacrifice and the wood and the stones and the dust and licked up the water that was in the trench. That had the same effect as a nuclear explosion, if you study that out. I mean, it just devoured, incinerated everything on the spot right there. And so we think about Elijah and his prayer life. My, what a mighty man of prayer. That he prayed this little prayer and God answered in such a great and a mighty way. Now, there's actually two examples of prayer here in chapter number 18. If we're talking about the effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much, there is actually an example of ineffectual prayer in chapter number 18. And we see that the prophets of Baal, look in verse number 26. It said over there, and they took the bullock which was given them, and they dressed it, and called on the name of Baal from morning even until noon, saying, O Baal, hear us. But there was no voice, nor any that answered. And they leaped upon the altar which was made. And it came to pass at noon that Elijah mocked them and said, cry aloud, for he is a god. Either he is talking, or he is pursuing, or he is in a journey, or peradventure he sleepeth and must be awake. And they cried aloud and cut themselves after their manner with knives and lancets till the blood gushed out upon them. Boy, now, nobody would say that they were not fervent in their prayers. They were very fervent. They were very serious about their prayers to Baal. They cut themselves. They jumped on the altar. They cried aloud. They made a lot of noise and ruckus and commotion in their prayer to Baal. It was fervent, but it was ineffectual. Didn't have any power to it. Baal never answered. All of their loud voices and all of their demonstration and all of their, what we'd say, fanaticism, and to the point of cutting themselves that they bled, and all of it ineffectual. Had no effect whatsoever. But then you have Elijah's prayer by way of contrast. And boy, when he prayed, the fire fell. Effectual prayer. Effectual prayer. And we could give examples. It doesn't matter how loud you pray, if your prayer is ineffective, if it doesn't make any difference. So we ought to be aiming for effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. Now, how many of you know or don't know, this is not the only time that Elijah prayed fire down from heaven? This is the first time that he prayed fire down from heaven, but there's two other times that Elijah prayed and fire came down from heaven. Look in 2 Kings. I've not forgot about chapter 17. We'll get over there, but we're just pointing out some things here. 2 Kings chapter 1. 2 Kings chapter number 1. Now, if you were going to study this out when you get home, read verses 1 through 16. But I'll just sort of quickly give a summary here. We're just thinking about some things. Ahab is dead by this time. King Ahaziah takes his place. And he fell through a lattice and he sent word to the prophets of Baal and asked if he was going to live or die. And Elijah heard about it and he said, go tell him he's going to die. He's going to die because he inquired of Baal and he said, is there not a God in Israel? And so then after that, King Azariah wants to talk to Elijah. And so he sends out a little army of men, 50 men, to go and get Elijah and bring him to talk to the king. Look in verse number 7. 2 Kings chapter 1, verse 7. This is King Azariah. And he said unto them, what manner of man was he which came up to meet you and told you these words? That he was going to die is what he's talking about. And they answered him, he was an hairy man, and girt with a girdle of leather about his loins. And he said, it is Elijah the Tishbite. Then the king sent unto him a captain of 50 with his 50, and he went up to him, and behold, he sat on the top of a hill. That's where Elijah was. And he spake unto him, thou man of God, the king hath said, come down. And Elijah answered and said to the captain of 50, if I be a man of God, then let fire come down from heaven and consume thee and thy 50. And there came down fire from heaven and consumed him and his 50. And so there Elijah prayed and fire fell and consumed these 50 men. Well, that's not exactly New Testament evangelism, is it? I mean, that's sort of rough. But that's what happened according to the Bible. Verse 11, again also he sent unto him another captain of 50 with his 50, and he answered and said unto him, O man of God, thus hath the king said, come down quickly. And Elijah answered and said unto them, if I be a man of God, let fire come down from heaven and consume thee and thy 50. And the fire of God came down from heaven and consumed him and his 50. And so there's two other times that Elijah prayed. We're talking about an example of prayer. Elijah prayed and fire came down from heaven. Now, if you read and study this on down, another captain of 50 went up there and he went very humbly and basically asked Elijah, said, please don't send fire down and consume us. And then Elijah went and talked to the king. So we have this example here. Two other times that Elijah prayed and fire came down from heaven. Now, the disciples reference this in Luke chapter number 9. when Jesus went through Samaria and they would not receive them. And the Bible said in Luke 9 and 54, and when his disciples, James and John, saw this, they said, Lord, wilt thou that we command fire to come down from heaven and consume them, even as Elias did? That's what they were talking about. You want us to pray and fire come down out of heaven? And the Lord Jesus rebuked them. Verse 55, he said, you know not what manner of spirit ye are of. Verse 56, he said, for the Son of Man is not come to destroy men's lives, but to save them. And so the disciples were in the wrong spirit when they said, you want us, they don't agree, they're not doing like we think they ought to, you want us to pray? But here's what I'm getting at. When the disciples thought of Elijah's prayer life, this is what they thought of. They thought of him calling the fire down and consuming these people. And so many examples we could talk about Elijah's prayer life and the answers that he received. Go back to chapter 17. I know you're familiar with Elijah raising the widow's son. And we find that in chapter number 17. And he sent from Zarephath. And this widow takes him in, feeds him, he stays there. And 1 Kings chapter number 17, verses 17 through 24. But we'll just read and begin in verse number 20. Talking about examples of Elijah's prayer life. Verse number 20 said, and he cried. Now this little boy, that's what this is referring to. And he cried unto the Lord and said, O Lord my God, hast thou also brought evil upon the widow with whom I sojourned by slaying her son? And he stretched himself upon the child three times and cried unto the Lord and said, O Lord my God, I pray thee, let this child's soul come into him again. And the Lord heard the voice of Elijah, and the soul of the child came into him again, and he revived. Here's a little boy that's dead. And Elijah prays, and the little boy comes back to life. Verse 23, and Elijah took the child and brought him down out of the chamber into the house and delivered him unto his mother. And Elijah said, see, thy son liveth. And the woman said to Elijah, now by this I know that thou art a man of God, and that the word of the Lord is in thy mouth is truth. And so lots of examples of the prayer life of Elijah. But the prayer that James refers to is in chapter 17, verse 1. That's specifically, now I said this already, I've heard a lot of preaching about Elijah starting in James chapter 5. Then going back into the life of Elijah, usually his prayer where the sacrifices is consumed in chapter 18. But James is specifically talking about chapter 17, verse number 1. And chapter 17, verse number 1 is the first mention of Elijah in the Bible. It said, and Elijah the Tishbite, who was of the inhabitants of Gilead, said unto Ahab, as the Lord God of Israel liveth, before whom I stand, there shall not be dew nor rain these years, but according to my word. That is specifically when James is giving the example of Elijah's prayer life, that's what he's talking about. He doesn't mention any of these other prayers, which they're great. I mean, they're wow, that's all you can say about it. But what James is talking about is the first time you read about Elijah in the Bible in this prayer that it would not rain by the space of 3 years and 6 months. And it's, I just got to thinking about that. It's interesting to me that this great example of this prayer warrior that James holds up for an example of the effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man, the example that he gives is not what that prayer produced, but what that prayer prevented. See, this prayer didn't produce anything. This prayer that he's talking about, it prevented something. And I think there's a lesson there for us tonight. This prayer was not answered in seconds. But this prayer was, this prayer endured over time, over seasons. Many seasons came and gone. 3 years and 6 months, according to James chapter 5 and verse number 17. James chapter 5 verse 18 said, "And he prayed again, and the heaven gave rain, and the earth brought forth her fruit." That's a prayer that he's talking about. Now, Elijah says this in chapter 17 verse 1. Look at chapter 18 and verse number 42. And then put this in your mind, that between chapter 17 verse number 1 and chapter 18 verse number 42 is 3 years and 6 months. That's a time frame that's happened. All these other things are in between that. The widow's son, the prophets of Baal, they're in between this. 3.5 years takes place. And the prophets of Baal are defeated in chapter number 18. Then chapter 18, verse 42. "So Ahab went up to eat and to drink. And Elijah went up to the top of Carmel. And he cast himself down upon the earth and put his face between his knees." Now you remember what James said. James said, "And he prayed again, and the heaven gave rain." And here's what he's talking about. Elijah goes up, casts himself down upon the earth, put his face between his knees. He's bowed down before the Lord. That's what that's describing. Here's his posture in prayer. Verse 43 says, "And said to his servant, 'Go up now, look toward the sea.' And he went up and looked and said, 'There is nothing.' And he said, 'Go again 7 times. You talk about faith in prayer. Now, the first time, Elijah's praying that it won't rain. He said, 'It's not going to rain, but according to my word.' Now he goes up and he begins to pray. And he sends his servant up. He says, 'Go out and look towards the sea.' He come back, what do you see? Nothing. 7 times, the Bible says. He sent his servant up. He come back, what do you see? Nothing. Sent him up, come back again. What do you see? Nothing. Most of us give up praying by then. But Elijah prayed, and he prayed. And verse 18 said, "And he prayed again, and the heaven gave rain, and the earth brought forth her fruit." Well, this happened 7 times in verse 43. Verse 44, "And it came to pass at the 7th time that he said, 'Behold, there ariseth a little cloud out of the sea like a man's hand.'" See, Elijah knew that his prayer is going to be answered. And he said, "Go up, say unto Ahab, prepare thy chariot and get thee down, that the rain stop thee not." Ahab, better get down here. There's going to be a flood. And your four-wheel drive chariot may not make it through. You better hurry. What do you think Ahab thought about that after 3.5 years? No rain. No rain clouds. Nothing like that. In verse 45, "And it came to pass in the meanwhile that the heaven was black with clouds and wind, and there was a great rain. And Ahab rode and went to Jezreel, and the hand of the Lord was on Elijah. And he girded up his loins and ran before Ahab to the entrance of Jezreel." Now, this ought to change the way we think about effectual, fervent prayer. Because our human nature, the way we are, when we think about prayer, when we think about prayer, when we think about great prayer, we want to see something. We want to see something happen. We want to see something happen right now. We want to see somebody that's sick. We want to see that person get up off that sick bed. That's how we are. Our human nature's like that. We want to see it right now. We want to see some kind of sign. We want to see some kind of fire from heaven, something we can say, boy, prayer and answer, just like that. I love to read about things that's gone on in the past. Great Answers to Prayer, George Mueller. He was a evangelist from England, preacher, and he ran boys and girls homes, orphanages. And I love to read about his life. You talk about somebody that got answers to prayer over and over and over again. And one time they met for breakfast. They didn't have any milk. And George Mueller sat down at the table or come down the table and he said, "Lord, these are your children. Meet our needs. We don't have any milk." And there's a knock at the door. And there's a milkman. He says, My carriage is broke down, or my milk wagon's broke down. I'm not going to get around. Just come out here and get it." And one thing, boy, isn't that a blessing? Isn't that an encouragement to hear about answers to prayer, that of things of this nature? But real faith doesn't have to see anything. And that's kind of faith that the Lord desires for us to have. That doesn't have to see anything. I would say in 3.5 years... Do you think Elijah even thought about that every day? I don't know that he did. I sort of think, according to the Bible, that he said that in chapter 17, verse number 1. Didn't think a whole lot about it until God laid on his heart, "All right, go pray." Faith doesn't have to see anything. I don't believe Elijah woke up any of that time and thought to himself, "Boy, I hope it don't rain today because, you know, I prayed and said it." Faith doesn't have to see anything. I'd say there's probably days he even forgot about it in getting in his... But the Bible doesn't say that. I'm just supposing tonight. But faith doesn't have to see anything. I believe a good example of that could be that really the only thing holding this thing we call America together is probably the prayers of God's people. Preventing it to be worse than it is, because we certainly deserve worse if we got right down to it. But the Bible says, now you think about it, there's a lot of people in America, there's a lot of Christian people. You may not see them on the news every night, you may not hear anything about them, you may not know that they're there, but I promise you there's a lot of Christian people in this nation that is very concerned about our country, our future, our children, and honestly, fervently pray for our country. And I think that's probably the one thing that is the reason, if we could really see into the spiritual realm, that we could say, this is why we could meet together and still have a good Thanksgiving and enjoy life and get together and have the freedom and liberty because of the prayers of God's people. See, the Bible tells us where to pray. 1 Timothy 2, 1 and 2. Says, "I exhort therefore that first of all, supplications, prayers, intercessions, and giving of thanks be made for all men, for kings, and for all that are in authority." That we, why should we pray like that? "That we may lead a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and honesty." Now that prayer is not that they may lead a quiet and peaceable life. It is that we might lead a quiet and peaceable life. If you're still in 1 Kings chapter 18, look at verse 17. Ahab said unto Elijah when he met him there. He said in chapter 18, verse 17, "And it came to pass when Ahab saw Elijah, that Ahab said unto him, Art thou he that troubleth Israel?" Ahab's blaming all that on Elijah, and it was Elijah that had prayed. See, that didn't have anything to do with the prophets of Baal. Ahab's still talking about this rain thing. "Art thou he that troubleth Israel?" God's people ought to be the greatest help or the greatest hindrance, depending upon the nature of our government, depending upon the nature of our authority. When they're righteous, we ought to be the greatest help. When they're unrighteous and wicked, we ought to be the greatest hindrance there is. And Ahab knew who it was messing up his plans. And he just flat out blamed, "Art thou he that troubleth Israel? Elijah, it's your prayers. You're the reason all this has come upon us." God's people ought to be the greatest help or the greatest hindrance. If authority is righteous, we ought to be the greatest help. If authority is unrighteous, we ought to be the greatest hinderer. And so, think about Ahab. Ahab was always against the people of God. And a lot of it was through the influence of Jezebel. And his wife, of course, she was the daughter of Baal. She was all caught up in the Baal worship and everything like that. But we ought to say our prayers accordingly as to how we know that the powers that be are. So we think about that when we think about Elijah. You don't know tonight, but your prayers might be the only thing keeping somebody that you love out of hell. Hindering, stopping the judgment of God in their lives. A lot of people that get saved, I've heard a lot of testimonies along these lines. Thank God for my mama, my grandmother. Prayed for me when I was out of the Lord's will and I was out here running up and down the road. You say, "Preacher, you can't prove that's right. You can't prove that's wrong." A lot of grandmas, a lot of grandpas pray. God answers these prayers that we pray. A lot of what we pray actually would come under the heading of preventing something. And it may take years and years for that to come to pass, but still there's those prayers. Talking about the effectual fervent prayer. That's the example that we have of James. So your prayers might be keeping somebody out of harm's way. Kim and I was talking about a situation. And I made the statement, I said, it's a wonder somebody hadn't shot them. Talking about somebody or attacked them, killed them, beat them up or something. Just a mean, wicked person. But I know this, the individual I'm thinking about, been a lot of prayers going out for them. Boy, they mean. Done a lot of wrong things, a lot of bad things. What's kept them out of harm's way? Might be grandma's prayers, mama's prayers, kept them out of harm's way. So prayers are powerful things. And going back to James chapter 5 and verse number 18, I heard a message up at Bible Way, actually the morning that I preached, the first message that morning the preacher preached out of this passage of Scripture, and he preached out of verse 18, and he prayed again. And boy, you ought to underline that in your Bible, and he brought out, and I'm not going to rehash his message, but basically what it was, he went back in the life of Elijah and he prayed again and he prayed again, and how God's people, you know, you might get weak and weary like Elijah did sometimes, but you study his life and he prayed again and he prayed again. And so aren't you glad tonight somebody prayed again for you? And so we might see the world, we might see people, we might see situations out here that discourage us and dishearten us. Well, just pray again. Just based on the fact of all the prayers that God's answered in the past, just go and pray again. It's a real good message. And it's worth hearing. I'm glad that I heard it. I underlined that in my Bible. And he prayed again. And the heaven gave rain, and the earth brought forth her fruit. Now, I'm going to close. Go to Matthew chapter 18. We'll read a few verses over there. And we'll close. We're coming to the end of this book of James. But boy, what great instruction concerning prayer. And preventive prayer is the example that we find in James chapter number 5. But Matthew chapter 18, it's talking about prayer in the church. A real prayer ministry is not so much about calling fire down from heaven. I don't know anybody that's called fire down from heaven. That's not what it's all about. It's about laboring with God. It's about praying concerning the Lord's purposes upon this earth. Real prayer. And so we find the subject in chapter number 18 is the church. Talking about the church in verses 15, 16, 17. Verse number 18, immediately after that, he begins to talk about prayer. And he says in verse number 18, "Verily I say unto you, whatsoever ye shall bind on earth shall be bound in heaven, and whatsoever ye shall loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven." There's twofold ministry of prayer right there in verse number 18. There is a binding he talks about. You know, there's some things needs to be bound. I know in years past I've preached on this, but it'd be good for us to remember some of the things that need to be bound, that the enemy, the great enemy, Satan, his work needs to be bound. He's the one that needs to be bound up, not God's people. God's work, the word of the Lord, needs to be loosed. We need to have freedom. We need to have liberty. The word of the Lord. Paul said, "Pray for us that the word of the Lord may have free course." That means to be loose and run freely. You know how it is. Sometimes you get to church and it's so bound up, you can't say amen. You can't worship. We're bound up. We need to be loose. The devil needs to be bound. That's the way this thing needs to work. And so the Lord Jesus gave the authority unto the church, "Whatsoever ye shall bind on earth shall be bound in heaven. Whatsoever ye shall loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven." I pray a lot of times along those lines, even from the pulpit. Lord, bind the devil. He'd not be able to hinder in the service. Lord, give us liberty. Give us freedom. Let the word of the Lord go forth. So a binding and a loosing when it comes to the ministry of prayer. And then there's a key in verse number 19. We need to remember this. Jesus said, "Again I say unto you that if two of you shall agree on earth as touching anything that they shall ask, it shall be done for them of my Father which is in heaven." There's the teaching of agreement. Well, if I can pray for something, God answers my prayer, that's wonderful. But if two of us can agree concerning something, that's twice the power with the Lord. And so there's the teaching in the Bible of two of you agreeing together. And so when we come together to pray together, there ought to be some things we're agreeing upon. We've had prayer on Saturday mornings and along the same lines, praying in agreement about the posters in the school. We prayed, agreed before the Lord, and asked God to do something. And you know what? The Lord did. We ought to be praying about this book. We ought to be praying for the souls of our young people, agreeing together. God, they need to be saved. Get somebody to pray with and pray about things and agree together. And see the Lord do wonderful things. So prayer, the prayer ministry of Elijah, the example that's mentioned was what he prevented, not what he produced. He produced some great things. But look what he prevented. We never know in our prayer life what we're preventing coming into our life. So interesting things about prayer. And boy, we could just go on and on. But we need to really put it into practice. You can study about prayer till the Lord comes. But if we don't pray, what good is it? We need to be men and women of prayer. And so we'll stop there tonight.